Turn your Bible with me to chapter 11 of the book of Daniel. Including tonight's study, we only have two studies left. That means what's coming up? Book of Titus, right? So please read ahead. Titus. Tonight's study title is The Kings of North and South and the Antichrist. I believe that this study of the book of Daniel has been rather eye-opening, as intriguing, and assuring that God's faithfulness to fulfill the prophecies that he made. The more I study this book, the book of Daniel, the more I realize that God is real and his word is beyond incredible. As I have said before, typical Hebrew writing style is what did I say? He writes about the summary of it first, and then he goes back and explains in more detail. Tonight is another case in point. We learned already about, chapter 2, start with the stature of King Nebuchadnezzar, with the gold head and the chest of silver, and the bronze stomach, and the iron thigh, and it goes down to clay and the iron mixed up. Each one of them represented each different dynasty and the empires. We heard about, in chapters 8 and 9, we heard about this things that happened in and during the Greek Empire. Alexander the Great had the dominion over all the known world at that time. However, after his death, the kingdom was divided into four different sections. This span that we are going to cover in chapter 11 happened in 375 years span between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning, before the beginning of the New Testament start. Now, is that the only thing that we're going to cover? And no, we are going to cover one more thing, actually two more things, end time, the Antichrist coming in, and we are going to cover current events of what's happening right now. And we are finding that this Bible, this special chapter 11, has incredible accuracy. Because of the accuracy, and it literally names the area, and talking about the kings, it is so accurate that Bible critics says that this cannot be written prior to the history. It's written after the history. Only problem with their silly idea is Septuagint. And remember, I told you Septuagint was written 300 BC. Antiochus Epiphany, that was a time of 175 BC. So how can this be literally 120-some years before the Antiochus Epiphany starting doing wrong things already prophesied? So their idea of a criticism cannot even stand in chance. So we'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 11. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, again, it is our pleasure to come to you and to hear from you through your word. Speak to our heart. Open our heart to receive your guidance, your wisdom. And let us remember that you are faithful and your word is true. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 11 is a kind of should be stuck with the chapter 10. So that is still a conversation from the angel to Prophet Daniel. So we'll pick up from the verse 2. And now I will tell you the truth. Behold, three more kings will rise in Persia, and the fourth will be far richer than them all. Underline fourth, please. And by his strength and through his riches he shall stir up against the realm of Greece. Then the mighty king shall rise, who shall rule with a great dominion and do according to his will. And when he has risen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven, but not among his posterity, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be uprooted even for others beside these? All right, I asked you to underline the fourth king in Persia. Who would that be? Anyone knows? Fourth king. Very good. Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes, whom we find in the book of Esther, Esther's husband. He's the one, the farthest, far richest than any other kings in the Persian kingdom of Persia. However, because he's rich, it got into his head, he challenged Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great crimed him. And that was pretty much the end of Persian kingdom. And now this king, Alexander the Great. And some of you are thinking, not this study again. We already did this several times. Yes. However, if we don't know this thing, we cannot understand the rest of them. So we have to go back to this. After the death of King Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, the kingdom is divided into four sections. The reason is because his descendant was not ready for the throne. As a matter of fact, they killed each other. Nice people, right? This is the known, what used to be far bigger, known the Greek Empire. But it was divided by four generals. Cassander occupied Macedonia and Greece, this area, which is cream of the crop area. And Lysimachus, Erythraeus, and Asia Minor, he is occupying that area. And Seleucus, he is occupying northern Syria and Mesopotamia area. And Ptolemy is occupying Egypt and Palestine. Now, note two important kingdoms. I'm not concerned about Cassander's kingdom and all Lysimachus' kingdom, but these two, Seleucus and Ptolemy. These two kingdoms are very important because Ptolemy's kingdom is known as king of the south, and this Seleucus is known as king of north. However, we have to understand one thing. When Bible talks about this area and the kings, reference is all known as the king of south, the king of north, even though they are different people in different dynasty, in different time period. They are all considered as the king of south, king of north. So we have to stay close with the timeline, and sometimes you have to think with me very carefully. To form the alliance between this Seleucus kingdom and the Ptolemy kingdom, Seleucus sent Ptolemy Philadelphus, just king of south, sent his daughter to him to make alliance. You with me? Now, the king of north already married. So since he is getting a new bride, what did he do? He divorced his wife. He dumped his original wife, got married to this guy. What? I'm sorry, to bride. Sorry. Well, then again, that Nero did that. Nero married to the guy. Sorry. And we are recording this too. Anyway, Seleucus king married to the daughter of Ptolemy. Now, problem is the king of south died in 2 years after that marriage. When he found out, the king of north found out that the king of south died, he chose to divorce the new wife and go back to the original wife. It sounds like a soap opera, doesn't it? Yeah. However, the original wife decided, I'm not going to trust you anymore. So she poisoned him and killed him. It got worse. And then she had the second wife and her son be murdered. And she put her son, who is the Seleucus Colonicus, become the king of the north. So we'll pick up from verse 7. You know, I have a bifocal glasses. I still have a problem seeing my Bible. But from the branches of her root, one shall rise in his place, who shall come with the army, enter the fortress of the king of the north, and deal with them and prevail. And he shall also carry out the gods of the captive and to the Egypt with their princes and their precious articles of silver and gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of north. Avenging his sister's murder. So that Ptolemy the Third invaded the kingdom of the Seleucus, and it destroyed the whole place, humbled the king, and took a lot of things. Like what I read is 40,000 talents of silver. I don't know how much that is. That's a lot of money. They took it away. We continue in verse 10. However, his son shall stir up the strife and assemble a multitude of a great force, and one shall certainly come and overwhelm the pass through, and he shall return to his fortress to stir up strife. And the king of south shall be moved with rage, go out and fight with him, with the king of north, who shall muster a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into the hand of his enemy. When he has taken away the multitude, his heart will be lifted up. He will cast down the tens of thousands, but he will not prevail, for the king of north will return and muster the multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come at the end some years with a great army, much equipment. This continual, remember this picture. Note that Israel is right there. So king of Syria, king of Seleucus, coming down to attack Egypt. And guess where Israel is located? Right in the quarter of their fighting trail. And if the Ptolemy go after the Seleucus, guess where they have to pass through? Palestine. However, Israel always picked the wrong side. When the Syrian army coming down, they hang with the Egyptians, and guess who get bombarded them? Israel get bombarded by the Syrian army. And so they decide to hang with the Syrian army, and the Egyptians come after them and whack them. So each time they side wrong enemies and their country get devastated, there is no peace at all. So we'll pick it up again in verse 14. Now in those times many shall rise up against the king of the south. Also violent men of your people shall exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and build a siege mound and take a fortified city, and force of the south shall not withstand him. Even his choice troops shall have no strength to resist, but he who comes against him shall do according to his own will, and no one shall stand against him. He shall stand in the glorious land with the destruction in his power. This was fulfilled in Antiochus the Great. Antiochus is coming from this kingdom. Antiochus the Great is known as Antiochus III. And he gave his daughter Cleopatra to the Ptolemy kingdom, and as hoping that he can have influence into the Ptolemy kingdom eventually. However, this Cleopatra was not faithful at all to her husband, and it didn't work. So, and some of you guys thinking that because of the movie Cleopatra, that's the one. No, it's not the most famous Cleopatra. Actually, she comes along many centuries later. Verse 18. After this, he shall turn his face to the coastland, that is Antiochus III, Antiochus the Great. He shall turn his face toward the coastland, which is this area, Cyprus and the coastland of the Mediterranean area, shall take many, but the ruler shall bring the reproach against them to the end, and with the reproach removed, he shall turn back on him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fortress of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall arise in his place one who imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom, and within a few days he shall be destroyed, but not in anger or in battle. This was fulfilled by the Antiochus Great to turn his attention toward the Mediterranean area, and guess who whacked them? Roman general, because this is Roman territory. They were growing. At this time, Rome was not that big yet, but they were growing faster than the Persian kingdom could handle. So Antiochus the Great was whacked by the Roman government, and he had to retreat and go back. And when he went back, he was literally broke. So he would try to strip up one of the temples in his city, and the people rioted against him and killed him. The king was killed by the Roman normal peasant. That was not the good way to die for the king. Now, we are going to find, we did that too. Vile person, verse 21. Okay. And this place, and his place, shall arise a vile person. Note the word, a vile person, please. To whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom of the intrigue, by intrigue. With the force of the flood, they shall be swept away from before him and be broken, and also prince of the covenant. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully, and he shall come up and become strong with a small number of people. He shall enter peaceably, even into the richest place of the province. And he shall do what his father have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse among them the plunder, spoil, and riches. He shall devise his plan against the stronghold, but only for a time. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of South with a great army. And the king of South will stir up the battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand. For he shall devise the plan against him. Yes, those who eat of the portion of his delicacy shall destroy him. His army shall be swept away, and many shall fall down slain. Both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak a lie at the same table, but it shall not prosper. For the end will still be at the appointed time. Apart from the murdering his own brother, Antiochus Epiphanes, which originally known as Antiochus IV, he didn't use the terror or power to get his persuaded people. Actually, he used a silver tongue. He used a flattery and intrigue to get his alliance. Antiochus Epiphanes, this is the kind of interesting character. Epiphany means eminent or very distinguished. However, the Jewish people who hated him called him, instead of Epiphany, he called him, how did that happen? There, sorry. Epimenes, that means madman. Kind of tongue-in-cheek difference. The same kind of sound. This prophecy concerning Antiochus Epiphanes is he is a type of Antichrist. He is a foreshadow. He is a kind of trailer before the main future of the what? Antichrist to come. He is the man of sin and the man of perdition, and that we are going to study a little bit later. Let's continue verse 28. While the returning to his land with the great riches, his heart shall be moved against the holy covenant. So he shall do damage and return to his own land. At the appointed time, he shall return and go toward the south, but he shall not be like a former of the latter. Four ships from the Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved and return in rage against the holy covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show the regard for those who forsake the holy covenant. And the forces shall be mustered up by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress, and they shall take away the daily for sacrifices, and place there an abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with the flattery. But the people who knows their God shall be strong and carried out their exploits. And those of people who understand shall instruct many. For they many days they shall fall by the sword and the flame, by captivities and the plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. Some of those in understanding shall fall, to refine them, to purify them, and make them white, until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. During the invasion of Egypt, when Antiochus Epiphanes, he got whipped by the Roman general who was helping him, and he was mad at the whole thing. And when he was coming back, he decided to go after Israel. He was going to unload his rage, and because on top of all, he has anti-Semitism. He is against the Jewish people, so he decided to dumped his rage against the Jewish people, and he went into the Jerusalem, destroyed the Jerusalem, and massacred 80,000 men and women and children in a few days. 168 BC, he came back, and this time he desecrated the sanctuary by defiling it, then dumping the swine's blood, and also stopped the daily sacrifice. That's known as the abomination of desolation. We already studied about it. And you're thinking, yeah, we already got that. So, Antichrist, now we have a new thing, not new things, a couple of things we should know. The Antichrist and the wars in the future, from verse 36. Then the king shall, underline, the king shall, according to his own will, that is very important. The king shall do according to his own will. And next one needs to be on the line. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. Every god shall speak blasphemy against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the rest has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. At this point, the history ends. Now prophecy begins. Until now, everything was history. From this point, it's Antichrist. It's to come. So the prophecies still need to be fulfilled. Many of you kind of wondered why this Bible allocates so much space for the Antichrist Epiphany. As I said before, he is historical preview of what is to come by the Antichrist. There's almost a parallel line, the way his attitude, attribute, and character, and between those two guys. Antichrist will do much damage in his own, but however, he's on the short leash by God. He will do exactly what God intended. He will fulfill. The God's purpose will be accomplished. You follow me? I ask you to underline two sentences. Number one, I read that the king shall do according to his own will. It's opposite of what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ never did his own will. Whose will did he do? Father in heaven. So he did everything what the Father says. And also, the Antichrist exalt himself. However, Jesus Christ exalt who? Father in heaven. He does something, and then people around him glorify God in heaven. Remember that? We studied in the Matthew. We studied in the book of Mark. Verse 37. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor desire of woman. Underline that, please, in the verse 37. And nor regard of any God. For he exalted himself above them all. Verse 38. But in their place he shall honor a God of a fortress, and a God of which his father did not know. He shall honor with the gold and silver, and with the precious stone and pleasant things. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortress with a foreign God, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory. He shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. 37, I actually underline this. He shall regard neither God or his father's God of his father, nor the desire of woman, nor regard of any God. Some of the Bible scholars think that because of this portion, believe that he, Antichrist, is a descendant of Jewish people, and he's homosexual. How do we know he's a Jewish people? He can be fit into the Protestant, he can fit into the Catholic, or even heathen. Why do I say heathen, or Catholic, or Protestant? He said the God of his father. What kind of father? He said father means, in Jewish word, in Hebrew word, father can be directly father, so like my daddy. Or it can be forefathers. What do you call this? No, ancestors, thank you. So, if you're a Protestant, if that Antichrist is a base, background of Protestant, that can be his lineage, or Catholic, same way. If it's just heathen person, it can simply father, the God of his lineage, going all the way back to the Adam. So we really don't know who this Antichrist is. Remember I told you about this particular guy in Europe. 5 years of Solana. Some of you guys already checked him out quite well. Because of curiosity, I'm sure. And he has a good potential for it. Because he's such a slick guy. He can. Remember what I said? This guy is a square, but he can fit in the circle. Because he is a genius when it comes to diplomacy. We'll continue in verse 40. At the time of the end of the king of Sass, we shall attack him. The king of North shall come against him like a whirlwind and chariot the horsemen and with many ships. He shall enter the country, overwhelm them, and pass through. Verse 41, he shall also enter the glorious land that is Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hands against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. And he shall have power over the treasure of gold and silver, over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyan and the Ethiopian shall follow of his heel. But news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out and with a great fury to destroy and annihilate the many. And he shall plant a tent of his palace between the sea and glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end and no one will help him. Well, can you guess when this is going to happen? This is the battle of Armageddon. Let's go back. At the time of King Cyrus will attack him, that would be the Egypt. And the king of North, who would that be? Gog or Magog. That we find in Ezekiel 37 and 38, 39. The one who will attack. Then you wonder, who is this Gog that I hear time to time? Gog is the one who nobody really pinpointed because we are kind of guessing. None of us knows the exact future. However, from the Bible, studying the Bible with the corresponding verses, we can pretty much guess this would be the Persian kingdom, the former Persian kingdom, and above. And you wonder, where do we have that kind of thing? A few years ago, a friend of mine gave us this globe for Christmas present. I was thinking, What the heck am I going to do with this? It's not even basketball. I cannot throw this thing around. Guess what I'm using this for? I use this a lot because to look around where the location is. Here's Ethiopia. Here's Egypt. Here's Libya. Remember we just read? The king of South will be destroyed. However, Ethiopia and Libya will be right at the heel of Antichrist. These two countries will support Antichrist. Antichrist coming from the European here. There's a Mediterranean Sea. There's a little green spot. Do you see it? That one? That's a little sliver land is Egypt, Israel. Little sliver land. Right above that tiny area is Lebanon. Yeah, and this entire area is a Persian kingdom. And here's Iraq and Iran. And here's Afghanistan and Pakistan like this. Here's the Caspian Sea and the Turkey here. This is Russia. All of this, now there is a more fastest growing number of the religion in this area is Muslim. As a matter of fact, the fastest growing religion around the world is Muslim, not Christianity. King of North, including Russia and Iran here, will join forces together and coming down. However, Syria is not in the picture. We'll go visit that thing later. So there, when they're coming down here, and then you're wondering, why Antichrist and the Satan will let this kind of thing happen during the tribulation time? Remember, Satan does not control everybody's heart. Even though they are these people, Russian people and Iran people, even though they are against God, but Satan don't completely control their heart. They are not possessed by them. So they have their own will to come against Antichrist. And the people from the east will come against him, and people from Egypt will come against him. So where do they meet? All those people? Israel. Where? Which particular area? Valley of Megiddo, known as Armageddon. All right, I explained all of this. Some of you are wondering how this is going to play with the current events. I'm glad that you're thinking that way. Let's talk about a few things. We have to cover the few players in this current event. Number one that we are going to cover is, player number one is a Sunni and Shiite Muslim. How many of you guys know the difference between Sunni and Shiite Muslims? To Americans, they all look alike, right? Like Oriental people. Shiite and Sunni as the two sections of the Muslim people. Okay, let me explain to you. Sunni Muslim, they believe that there has to be election to be a successor of Muhammad. So the elders or the leaders of the Muslim Islam religion should select somebody. And they believe that the leader should be Muhammad's father-in-law, Abu Bakr. He's supposed to be the leader. However, Shiites believe that they believe that Muhammad already designated the guy, his cousin, Ali. A-L-I. So they have two different concepts, two different religious backgrounds. Even the same Muslim, they believe in the Quran. They despise Israel, and they despise the United States, the Christians especially. They're fighting, by the way, the Shiites means follower of Ali or party of Ali. Shiites cannot stand Sunni and Sunni cannot stand Shiite. From 635 AD, they've been fighting at each other's. And it's still going on. Sunni is the biggest Muslim population. Shiites are smaller. However, they are strictly located throughout the Arab world, especially in Syria and Iran. Majority of the Iranians belong to the Shiites. And guess who are the Shiites? Hezbollah. Have you ever heard the name Hezbollah lately? You know what, to be honest with you, Hezbollah, I've never heard Hezbollah until about a month ago. Huh? Did you? Obviously, you're smarter than me. I had no idea what's going on. So this Hezbollah was backed by this people. Now, there are roughly 1.2 billion people around the world who claim to be Muslim. 15% of 1.2 billion people are located in Indonesia. And 12% are located in Pakistan. Shiite Muslim people are the one more fanatic than Sunni people. However, that's not all true, though. Al-Qaeda are not Shiite. They are Sunni. So you wonder, where are you going with this? Both party, either Shiite or Sunni, they hate America. They will do anything to destroy America. They will do anything to destroy Israel. First, foremost Israel. Second, United States. Then each other's. Second player we have to look at in the table with the Hezbollah. Hezbollah means a party of God. Sounds awful nice, party of God. Huh? It was originally founded in Lebanon in 1982 by late Iranian leader Ayatollah Khomeini. Of course, he's a Shiite. And it was naturally they are radical Shiite Muslims, and the group's aim, and the foremost aim, is destroying the Israel and setting up the Shiite-controlled state in South Lebanon. And they believe that, we believe that they are responsible for the many attacks, terrorist attacks around the world, as well as especially 1983 Marine barracks in South Lebanon, in Lebanon, that claimed 241 Marine soldiers' lives. Hezbollah get most of the arms through the Syria. However, Syria is not the one who is footing the bill. Guess who is footing the bill? Iran. Iran is footing the bill between the $20 to $40 billion a month. Do you know how much that is? $20 to $40 billion? Yeah, a month. And they received 10,000 rockets before they started this war against Israel. And they spent about 3,100 rockets so far. They used to throw one to two rockets a day before. About a month ago, they kidnapped two Israeli soldiers just to see how the Israeli react. America kind of, you know, tiptoe around, look around the political realm, and okay, should we attack them, should we not? And they take time to think about that kind. Israeli don't. You attack Israel, they will get back at you. If you hit them with a slap in their hand, they will come back at you with a sledgehammer. They are not the one who mess around. Because Hezbollah knows how the Israeli works, what they do is they use mobile rocket launchers. And they strategically place the mobile launchers in the middle of the housing area. And they fire them to the Israel. They know that Israeli special forces is inside in the Lebanon, southern Lebanon, and they can pinpoint where the location is, the rocket launcher area is, and they call out the airstrike. Guess where that area is, residential area, or school area, or the hospital area. And Israeli just bombard them, and guess what they claim? They killed innocent people. For example, do you remember about 2 weeks ago, the Israeli bombed the hospital? Number one, that hospital has been empty for quite some time, is financed by the Syria. Number two, when Israeli bombed that area, they announced them when they're coming, and they bombed them at 1 o'clock evening, not 1 o'clock midnight. The emergency vehicle of the Lebanon didn't arrive there until 8 o'clock in the morning. if you can do a math like I do, 1 o'clock, 8 o'clock, there's a gap. Usually, emergency vehicle get there early. That's why they call it emergency vehicle, not 7 hour delay. When the foreign media could not get there until 8 o'clock, they blocked the whole area. And the emergency vehicle coming in, and then they showed the foreign media bombed the area. And foreign media could not go into the actual site. They had to stand outside as this emergency crew coming out with the dead bodies from one hall. There was only one hall. And the bodies, they took a picture of, the foreign media took a picture, has a kind of grayish tone. There is no bloody tone. What does it mean? Somebody transferred the dead body into that area, staged it. Hezbollah knows how to use a PR against the foreign media, especially CNN, you know, the left-wing Kami Pinko people. They know how to use these people against world opinion. Okay, next player would be Iran and Syria. Iran. This Iran is the key player of the coming war, that is a tribulation war. They are literally at the verge of getting a nuclear bomb. There's nothing they have to do to get the bomb. And they don't care about the international opinion. They will get them. They'll have them. And they are supported by them. They support the majority of the terrorist group around the world. And one form or another, Iran will be the one who is going to be in the comrade in arms with Russia to attack Israel during the time of that last war. For Iran, Hezbollah is nothing more than pawn. They don't care about Hezbollah. Hezbollah can succeed or survive, or they can be completely destroyed. For Iran, this is a stepping stone to get to the leader of Arab nations around the world. You follow me? They are the one who's going to be not the Iraq. If you look at Ezekiel 37, you will see the countries mentioned who will support Antichrist and also who will fight against Antichrist. Those who fight against will be Northern Kingdom, that is a Gog nation, and then Eastern nations like China, Japan, all those slant-eyed people, and then the Egypt, Southern Kingdom. But those who are following is Western Europe and Eastern Europe, and then Libya and Ethiopia. Syria is not mentioned. Iraq is not mentioned. Iraq, no wonder. Why? Because it's pretty much occupied by the American. Syria, they are making themselves a shuttle point for the Hezbollah, and they get the benefit for Iran and themselves. They are trying to get the land of Lebanon so they can be close to the Israel. Syria is right. Let's go back to the world map. Here's Syria. They are not directly connected with Israel. Here's Jordan. This one is Jordan, and there's Lebanon. To get to the Israel, they have to have a Lebanon. You follow me? So to them, it's very important having a Lebanon and controlled by the Syria. Syria had to get out of the Lebanon, huh? Very little, small size, yeah, small size. And they're claiming that they, as a matter of fact, the Golan Heights, they're going to get the Golan Heights in a matter of, they said, a matter of few days. Yeah, he's right there. That's the Golan Heights. Now, next player is Israel. Oops, went too far. Israel. When Israel tried to do a ceasefire for 48 hours during this fight against Hezbollah, do you know what happened? Because they were under pressure from America and UN, so they stopped fighting with the Hezbollah. Guess what Hezbollah did? They got the largest attack from the Hezbollah. Hezbollah is like, I think I mentioned this to you guys on Sunday morning. He's one of those little snotty kids that come to you and beat you up, beat your leg. It's not really hurting. And then you try to get him. He said, ceasefire, ceasefire, peace. Now they're getting whipped by the Israeli army, military. They said, no more fighting. We'll follow the ceasefire guideline. Israeli people don't care about the UN. Because the UN's questionable attitude and their strength is not really helping them. So, Israel is taking the matter into their own hand. And fighting is, actually, Israel is fighting for their lives. Now, listen carefully, please. Arab nation, there are many of them. As we saw the globe, there are about 15 to 16 countries around Israel, a bunch of the Arab nations. One of them can go down the drain, and there's still many of them left. There's only one Israel, only one chance. Have you ever heard of Silkworm, the missile named Silkworm? It's developed by the North Korean, and they sold left and right, especially to the Iran. This Silkworm can go, I heard, 125 miles range. That means they can fire from the south Lebanon. It can hit Tel Aviv and all the way down to close to the Jerusalem. And some of you are thinking, I'm not going to the Israel tour. Relax. This war will not happen until the rapture happens, until the end of a seven-year tribulation, and you ain't going to be here. So relax. You are not going to be in the war. Next player is Russia. What has been the main focus of the world media so far? No, not Russia. Afghanistan, Iraq, and terrorism around the world. Russia has been keeping themselves very low under the radar. Not many people notice what's going on. The prime minister keeping himself and strengthening themselves. Right after when the wall came down, and Russia lost a lot of the country territories. All these small territories divided themselves and declared independence. Russia needs finance back to build that fight again, build that strength again. So they're under the radar screen. They're keeping themselves up and with the by selling some of the nuclear bombs to the black marketeers. And it's working. All right. What's all, after we said all that, and some of you are thinking, are we at the verge of World War III? No, the French people didn't give up yet, so we are not there yet. Did you get it? Have you ever heard the story about the French rifle on eBay? In perfectly good condition, dropped only twice. World War I, World War II. Let's make applications. Number one. The Antichrist will do much damage, but he is on short leash. And will only work into the God's plan. God's purpose will be accomplished. Realizing that the end is approaching fast, we should consistently strive to live godly lives. Remember what I said. What is the purpose of the prophecy? What is the purpose of prophecy? Whenever we read the prophecy in the New Testament, it's followed by living godly. It follows by the living godly all the time. If we just have a prophecy knowledge, then it doesn't do anything. It just fills our curiosity. However, the main purpose of prophecy is living godly for His glory. Third application. Knowing that God's judgment is coming, we should diligently seek to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to others. Folks, time is so near. If you cannot smell, if you cannot feel it, you are sleeping spiritually. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word you spoke to our heart. Let us be prepared and be watchful, be occupied to doing your work. Let us not grow weary in doing good things, and we will reap harvest in due time. Let us think about those who don't know you, and let us share the good news of Jesus Christ with those. And meanwhile, let us live in godly life that brings glory to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.